Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, October 25th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Nice day in gold today. I'm not going to get too excited. we want to keep it moving up, but we had a nice day. Gold was up $8.80 in the aftermarket trading at $1,274.20. Silver's up $16 at $1,783. Platinum is up $24 at $967. Palladium unchanged, $637 on the day. USDX today, 98.72, up 0.06. Crude oil broke through 50 at 49.85. 49.85 down 0.67. And the paper markets today, I haven't been able to follow the markets today. We had a hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver. And on those days, they just go screaming by, and the next thing you know, it's 4 o'clock. Here we are, and the Dow was down 53 points at 18,169. The Nasdaq was down 26 at 52.83. The S&P was down 8 at 21.43. 10-year yield 1.76%. Euro 109. That was up 0.13, but that's just been hammered. European markets basically unchanged throughout the night. So, nice day in gold and silver. And I just have a couple of interesting, they're not really reports of articles that I came across that I thought was interesting, and particularly since we're in this election cycle here in the States. We saw what happened. We had Brexit with England. And you have anti-establishment parties that are gaining ground in the heart of the European Union. And this is what this article was about, the rising euro skepticism and how it could impact the region's growth outlook. Well, we already know they have a pretty poor outlook for their growth. No matter what happens over there, it certainly is not healthy by any means. But this just adds to it. And you have populists in Spain or Italy. They're revolting against restrictive fiscal policies and a weakening of social safety nets. The backlash in France and Germany that focuses on monetary union itself. parties are openly advocating a break from the euro. It's building momentum ahead of a year of elections across the region, and politicians skeptical about EU integrations. There's already been a trade deal that was blocked in Belgium with Canada. That was just last week. You have economists, investors, company executives are concerned that a rise of right-wing nationalists doesn't only weigh on growth prospects, but could even put the EU's future on the line. So those little elites are getting a little worried over there, as they are over here, and they're not ashamed to say it, to show it, and to do things about it. But the populist movements have strained ties between member states, even targeting the European Central Bank, whose policies have shielded the region from the worst consequences of a financial uproar. Populist parties are anti-austerity, but they're generally ready to negotiate to stay in the Union and in the Euro. I'm not so sure that is true, but this is what the senior economist at ABN AMRO Bank has said in Amsterdam. But what else would they say? Yeah, they'll negotiate. Well, I'm not so sure. Yeah, they want to stay in the Euro. I'm not so sure. But
will they go? I mean, the national currency is the answer.
They can go back to their own currency.
The national currencies.
That's where they should be. You know, because things would be a lot cheaper for them. And then they wouldn't be having the problems that they're having. And they have a lot of elections. In France, the National Front under Marine Le Pen, she's a strong favorite to win the most votes on the first presidential ballot. She's rallying supporters with the promise of a referendum on whether the country should leave the EU. This is France. Austria's...
And join the Muslim Union.
Austria's anti-immigration freedom policy will have a second shot at victory. I mean, you have a lot of elections coming up. Voters in 75% of the euro area economy are set to cast ballots by late 2017 in presidential or parliamentary elections, as well as a referendum on constitutional reform. So that's a lot of elections. And
when the region is unstable and dissatisfied with the existing political system, and the whole global economy is unstable. So what we're saying is, what this implies is that next year, 2017, we may see an increase in instability. And it can't bode well for economic strength on a global level. There's a good high increased probability. Not a guarantee, not a certainty, but an increased probability that we will see, again, global recession, maybe depression in 2017. I'd say we will see global recession right now and maybe depression, but if it gets worse, it will be a depression, although people in positions of power may not use that word, the dreaded D word, Melody. We've got the N word and the C word and the D word.
Well, you know, even though there was the Brexit, you had the pound has plunged about 18%. What's interesting is you have third quarter growth data that's coming out on Thursday to see what Britain's economy is doing. I don't think you're going to see much change in Britain's economy, particularly when you have that lower currency, a lower pound. But come May, first part of March, I believe, in 2017, you have the Prime Minister in there is going to, initiate that ruling and to begin the process of moving England out of the euro. So a lot of things are happening in March of next year. But
well, I actually think if the value of the pound has fallen by 18%, it should be a big boost for English exports.
Well, I think they're going to have a good GDP. That's why Mario Draghi, that's why they didn't do anything with any changes with additional stimulus. You know, I think that's why they're holding back on the stimulus, because I think they it's an illusion. You have a lower currency, it shows that, trade might be better and so forth, that they're doing things better over there.
But they're working for lower wages, that's what it comes down to.
With the lower currency, you're going to have higher inflation, even though the trade... So, mm-hmm. You know, it'll be interesting to see how Their GDP comes out for third quarter, and with that big drop. But again, I would assume that they'll have good news. They're certainly not going to report bad news, or Mario Draghi, you know, might have done something with the stimulus prior to. Here's something else I came across I thought's interesting. You know, all the big talk in 2008 was all subprime debt. You know, we talked about it just this week. We talked about it last week, how the subprime debt is increasing and so forth. And even after a decade, after the AAA failures of the so-called subprime era, you have it back on Wall Street. You have, and what allowed all this subprime bad debt is because the rating companies, Moody's, S&P, they just lied about the great abilities of people to pay back their debt. And it's happening again. You have Moody's Investor Service, S&P Global Ratings are cutting companies slack on mergers and acquisitions, an analysis of credit ratings data that was found by Bloomberg. Over the past
year. So you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, you're saying that the ratings agencies are rating the subprime debt as if it were not subprime.
The companies. That their ability to pay is greater than what it really is. Over the past year and a half, both Moody's and S&P have bumped up their ratings by 2, 3, or even 6 levels on a majority of the biggest deals. And they don't dispute the findings. But the firms say a by-the-numbers approach overlook one of their most valuable assets, human judgment. So, okay, they're using, oh, yeah, AT&T, when they purchase a Time Warner, yeah, they'll be able to pay them back. Yeah, no worries. That's a judgment. That's a human judgment call. But some investors warn the approach has encouraged an epic debt binge that could pose dangers as years of near-zero interest rates come to an end. AT&T's plan to borrow about $40 billion to buy Time Warner, in addition to its $120 billion of debt already outstanding. I mean, this is just another example. In 2015 alone, U.S. companies borrowed a record $1.6 trillion in the bond markets, with $258 billion of that going to finance acquisitions by investment-grade companies. And this was Barclays' report. According to Morgan Stanley, corporate America is now more leveraged than ever. You have some very large companies that are getting the benefit of the doubt from rating agencies and from the market. And the longer this goes on, the higher the likelihood that all of this leads to not only financial losses, but to a significant slowdown in the economy and ultimately a recession. This is what the head of USA Credit Trading for TCW Group says. But we already think we're all in a recession, and we know there's going to be a significant slowdown. This is just another 2x4 in the breeze. So again, Bloomberg examined U.S. deals with values of at least $10 billion, excluding financial firms and utilities that were announced in the 18 months ended June 30th and funded with debt. And both Moody's and S&P rated 32 such transactions. At Moody's, 27 of the ratings were higher than ones the firm typically assigns to companies with the comparable debt loads. S&P, 17 out of the 32 of the acquiring companies got the higher ratings. So, you know, same old, you know, as long as nobody goes to jail, they're going to just create a new way, a different way, and sometimes even the old way to get what needs to be done just to keep the system. And then everybody turns a blind eye, because what are they going to do? What, Moody's and S&P is going to come out and say, oh, we're going to downgrade your credit rating so you can't go through with this acquisition? You know, and the markets would collapse. So, no, they're not going to do any of that. And everybody, all those that are supposed to be following and to make sure that everything gets, that transparency is there, they all close their eyes and, you know, walk the other way and, you know, get paid, have a nice little deposit into their checking account. So again, it's the same old, and again, we're not any better off than we were 2008, except it just looks that way.
I don't even know if it looks that way exactly. The only thing you can say is that if we were in this bad shape in 2007 and 2008, nobody would have been surprised when we had the crash. And now, the amazing thing is that we're still standing. I think the significance of the subprime debt is this. They don't have enough people willing to go out. They don't have enough people who are credible borrowers to go out and borrow more money and go deeper into debt. And they need people to go into debt because we're in a debt-based monetary system. And some of that debt, particularly U.S. Treasuries, but other debt as well, can be used as collateral by banks to justify loans. Right? If they get hold of your mortgage or your car note and they put it in the bank vault, they can use it as collateral to lend up to 9 times the face value of your debt instrument to the public. And I think this is why they didn't care. If you are subprime, it doesn't matter. Your promise to pay is worth several times the value of whatever it is they're lending you. Come in and borrow $100,000 and give them a subprime note. They don't care. They give you the $100,000 because they can take that note, put it in the vault, and they can use it as collateral to justify lending $900,000 to the public. I think the reason that they were willing to, they're still willing to do subprime. They have to. We've got to get more people willing to go into debt. All right? And from my, I ought to go down to the bank and say, well, I'd like to borrow $5 billion. They can look at me and they say, he's never going to pay that back, but it is $5 billion. It would stimulate the economy if we loaned him more money, and then we could take his promise to pay and put it in the bank vault, and it would be good for lending more money to the consumers under fractional reserve banking. I don't know if I'm making myself very clear with this or not, Melody, but they need more debtors. And if reasonable people and people who are credit worthy won't take more debt, then they've got to find some people who aren't credit worthy, well, and therefore they're going to do subprime lending.
Well, absolutely, and that's exactly.
And this can only go so far before it absolutely blows up in everybody's face.
And that's how these rating agencies, that's why they support it. I mean, they're part of it. They'll say, oh, well, you know, AT&T has a credit rating of, you know, triple A or whatever, they could pay it back, so let's loan them more money. More money, more money, more money. And yeah, they'll do it. They have to do it. And that's why corporate America is so leveraged. That's why corporate America, you know, was what the homeowner was in 2008.
Yeah.
You know, the homeowner was replaced by corporate America. So if you think that, you know, we escaped some sort of financial disaster and that Wall Street and Washington was able to pull us out of the depths of destruction, well, you're sadly mistaken. They've only created a bigger hole for us to fall into. And so it's just a matter of, I hate saying that, it's just a matter of time.
gotta think
of something else.
Time is relative.
But it is.
Says.
So, you know, again, nothing has changed. And we will continue to see things.
Well, the change is this. There is a change, and the change is that we have an interest rate that's down near zero. That's the change. The people who were had mortgage problems back in 2007, 2008, they're paying pretty serious interest rates on their mortgage. Today, the interest rate that the corporations are paying on their debt is substantially lower. For the moment, that can allow this problem to fester, with perhaps not causing a collapse all by itself. But as soon as they start raising interest rates, which they inevitably must, right, someday they've got to actually start. If you've got $100,000 to lend, they're going to have to let you get a decent return on your investment. And they're not going to find that at a near zero interest rate policy. Right? They've got to let the interest rates rise, or savers will take their money out of this economy and take it to third world nations or who knows where, Europe, South America, whatever. But if they want to keep capital in this country, they've got to pay a decent interest rate. When they start paying a decent interest rate, that's when these corporations are going to be in a lot of trouble if they're still overly leveraged, which is to say overly indebted. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned. Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Many, many people have experienced the benefits of drinking all-natural life-change tea. The unique blend of 8 herbs helps detoxify your body so you can live a healthier life. Numerous testimonies have been given about the benefits of drinking life-change tea. So, are you drinking life-change tea? Interested? Log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Many are so impressed with our product, they order a year's supply. And why not? When they do, they receive 2 months free. That's a $70 savings. The body is meant to heal itself. Sometimes the body just needs a little help. Get the tea at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. This is not an ordinary green tea, and it's not available in stores. This tea helps with digestive problems, acid reflux, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and as talk show host Jerry Doyle says, it'll make you as regular as a baby bird. Enjoy your life. Get life change tea at getthetea.com.
Hi folks, I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Got an article here from Business Insider. And the headline is Felder, that's the name of a money manager. It says the probability of a market crash is as high as it's ever been. And the only point to this article, we talked about this last week, and we keep seeing, it appears to be increasing frequency, from people who are in positions where they might know what they're talking about. People in, you know, that are managing significant sums of money, Wall Street bankers, brokers, whatever, and they seem to be high level of consistency. They're saying we're right on the edge of it. There's going to be a problem. There's going to be a market crash. We're going to have a downturn. Here's another guy, Maverick Money Manager Jesse Felder, is warning the end result of the volatility trade could be a very painful lesson for investors with significant stock market repercussions. He says, I'm not calling for a stock market crash. I think that's asinine. Nobody knows the timing or anything, but if you want to look at what the probability is of that type of event, it's probably got to be as high as it's ever been. All right, so he's sitting back and he's saying, look, I'm not saying that there's going to be a market crash, but he says the odds are as high as they've ever been that there's going to be a market crash. He's trying to have it both ways. He says, I'm not calling for a stock market crash, but the probability of that kind of crash is as high as it's ever been. That's Mr. Felder. Egon von Graerts, he's got another one down here. He says, what's Egon von Graerts is the owner, operator, mastermind behind Matterhorn Investments out of Switzerland. He says, what's happening today is the complete opposite of a free market. Global debt has grown over 10 times in 25 years, and the interest rates are zero or negative. This is financial repression or manipulation to a degree never before seen in world history. It totally destroys free market forces and is therefore the seeds of a coming financial Armageddon. Whenever the natural laws of supply and demand are interfered with, it always has severe consequences. And when we talk about interfering with the natural laws of supply and demand, what are we talking about? We're talking about central planning, right? We're talking about governments like the former Soviet Union, that of the former Soviet Union, that said, we're so smart we can run the whole economy. And the truth is they're not. All they can do is screw the whole economy up. And insofar as we have central planners in Washington, D.C., they are the ones who are guilty of financial repression and or manipulation, financial manipulation. And this is going to blow up in everybody's face. Von Greyerz continues, and he says, one thing is certain. The current financial system will not survive because it's based on principles which are not sustainable. I would say instead of principles, I would say presumptions which are not sustainable. Von Greyerz goes on and says, there is no sound money. What is also certain is that gold, the only real money, will continue to reflect the mismanagement of the world economy as the currencies finish the move to zero in the next few years. And when he talks about currencies finishing the move to zero, he's talking about currencies like the dollar, which are now, their purchasing power is less than a nickel for a dollar compared to what it was in 1971. In 1971, you could get a dollar's worth of goods and services for a dollar bill. Today, you can get less than a nickel's worth compared to 1971. We've lost 95%. We're going to lose 96. We're going to lose 97. We're going to do 98, 99. And finally, we're going to have a dollar bill that's worth nothing. And it's not just happening to the U.S. dollar bill. It's happening to currencies around the world as they struggle and fight to inflate their value, meaning devalue the currency, subject it to inflation, and make it worth less and less and less so they can sell into the global market. The whole thing is nuts. The whole thing is crazy, and it's going to blow up. It cannot last. We cannot continue to have a monetary system that's based on debt. It's insane. It's irrational. It's arguably wicked. And sooner or later, if nothing else, the mathematics of that incredibly false presumption that we could take a debt-based money and it could adequately supplant and replace an asset-based money. That idea is crazy. Right? It's been sold to the American people. We didn't pay attention. We didn't understand. Congress didn't pay attention, didn't understand, or they were in on it. But it can't. There, you can only behave like a crazy man for so long and get away with it. It's a little like using your MasterCard to pay off your Visa, to pay off your American Express. It may seem to work for a while, but there are going to be some terrible adverse consequences. And, you know, we're just here. We hear from people that are associated with the establishment, people associated with mainstream media, and they're increasingly warning we're sitting on the end of big trouble, or on the edge of big trouble. So that's the point of the two articles.
Well, I'm glad they agree with us. And I'll tell you one thing, too. He wrote in there about the manipulation of a degree never seen in world history. And I tell my clients every day, and they ask me, Melody, do they manipulate? When is the manipulation of gold and silver going to stop? It's like they're just not manipulating the gold and silver markets. They're manipulating all markets, not just here, but world markets. Everyone is manipulated. It just so happens that they have manipulated the world paper markets to a higher level than gold and silver. But you can't complain about what gold and silver has done. Certainly we're not at 1900 or 2000 or even 5000 as yet is where we probably should be. But it's still much higher, and it has performed extremely well over the years, and that's the whole reason why you buy gold and silver. And so everything is manipulated, and, you know, there is an end to it. It doesn't continue. And I think one of the best websites. People ask me all the time, who do you read? Where do you get your information? Well, number one, I read news, not just from one place, but from multiple places. And I think Doug Noland, if I had to read an analysis or an analyst of sorts, Doug Noland of Credit Bubble Bulletin is probably the best there is. He doesn't sell anything. He doesn't have an agenda to pushing you into paper or stocks or bonds or whatever. And he talks about the credit bubble that has gotten us out of every recession from the beginning. We didn't come out of any of these recessions on hard work and good economic theories or good economic principles. We came out of the recessions because government and Wall Street created programs. They created systems that created debt. And it was the debt that got us out of the recessions. And that's why this debt just continues to grow. It's why Wall Street continues to get higher, like the Dow and the other markets continue to rise. And it's all manipulation. It's all manipulation by debt.
And the problem is that debt continues to accumulate until finally you reach a point when you can't go, where you can't go any further into debt. People actually want to be paid, and at that point, government has to admit, "Oops, we don't have enough money to pay you." I mean, it's when we're going into, we would have been better off to take all of the recessions that we may have had for the last since 1971. We would have been better off instead of government trying to manipulate. Ronald Reagan started the manipulation to some degree when he initiated the plunge protection team to make sure that the stock market didn't fall more than several hundred points in a particular session. All right, what was that? A plunge protection team. It guaranteed that the markets would not fall significantly. It sounds like a good deal. But the fact is it refutes reality. Right, it defies reality, and it is market manipulation. When Reagan, right, he's a guy in favor of freedom and the rest of that. When he said, "No, the markets can't be free to fall. We've got to protect that." Well, I don't doubt he had good reasons for it. Everybody said, "Yeah, that's good, great," but it was wrong. If the market wants to fall, let it fall, and you have to do that because we have, instead of having one big collapse, we should have had several small falls. And we could have got through it. And each one of them would have resulted in corrections in terms of behaving more honestly, more intelligently in how we're running this country. But when the government prevents these collapses, then there's nothing for us to think about. We don't have to sit back and say, you know, we've got to change parties. We've got to get the incumbents thrown out of office and get some new people in there that have a different mentality who don't bring us to another one of these recessions. Government protects itself by making sure that we have our recessions and depressions are minimized, because it's in the context of recession and depression that people become politically active and they say, throw the bums out. Long as things are pretty good, everybody's happy, they'll keep the bums in. The bums want to stay in. So they borrow against the future. They say, oh my gosh, we're going into a recession. The people throw us out of office. I know. We don't want to raise taxes because that'll only make them mad. And we can't cut benefits. That'll make them mad. So what's left other than to borrow? Go deeper into debt. And then we can create the illusion that we are solvent to a degree that is not, in fact, real. And that's what they've done. We've been raised and conditioned to believe in an economy that isn't really here. It's debt-based. What have we calculated? I mean, we've calculated just yesterday, we were looking at one of the calculations, including the government debt, the official government debt, and the private debt. It translates into something like $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country, and that's assuming that's the official government debt of $20 trillion, rather $100 trillion from John Williams, ShadowStats.com, $200 trillion from Congressional Budget Office, Lawrence Kotlikoff. It can't be paid. But yet we are in a position where they've been taking our checks, even though they should be marked NSF. They should be bouncing on our bank account, our national bank account, essentially. They should be bouncing. They're not. They haven't. At least not yet, but they're going to. And then what? Now what? When we can't borrow more to maintain this illusion, what will people do? Will they raise taxes? Will they cut government benefits? And the answer is probably yes to both of them. And how will that help the economy? It'll just drive us all deeper into poverty. We are in a very difficult and dangerous situation, and we're into something that the people who are leading this country should have understood when they said, hey, I know, let's start a debt-based monetary system. What they did was guarantee that this nation was headed for a colossal collapse. And it was what they did was treasonous. We've got a Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coin, a tender in payment of debts.
For the past 30...
We have the Coin Act, Coinage Act of, 1792, which declared that a dollar is, if I recall the number correctly, I believe it's 317 and a quarter grains of silver. How many grains of silver do you suppose there are in the $1 bills you have in your wallet? How many grains of silver do you suppose there are in the digital dollars that are in your bank account? The founders did what they could to try to protect us from exactly the kind of money system we have, and we be dumb. We allowed the government to go, oh no, we'll do a debt-based monetary system. It'll be great. No, it won't. It'll be disastrous. Although the disaster they started, you can argue that they started a debt-based monetary system. You could argue you could trace it back to 1933. You could certainly trace it back to 1971. You can take your pick when it really started, but the point is when they started it, the people who had sufficient knowledge, intelligence to start that kind of a absurd, irrational, and wicked idea, they must have known what they were doing. And when they did, they set something in motion that only now we're getting close to when the net result is going to take place.
And I do believe there were people who probably thought that they were doing the right thing, thinking that it was a short-term basis. But I also believe that the evil and the power behind it, there was certainly an agenda. And certainly there have always, governments, people, always, civilizations always wanted control of the world. Always wanted to rule the world. But the prosperity that this country has seen over the, 30, 40 years, sure, there was prosperity, but a lot of the underlying fundamentals of that prosperity was all dead. It was fake. It was phony.
Oh, no.
We talk about the dollar being reset. Yes, the dollar is going to be, but our standard of living has been reset. And we're going through it now. These are the pains that we're going through now. We're not going through growing pains. We're going through declining pains.
We're going through the day of reckoning. That's what's happening. We've been living on our credit cards. All right? As a nation, we've been living on our credit cards, and all of a sudden the bill is coming in at the end of the month, and we are looking at the credit cards and say, Martha, what the heck is this? You bought $25,000 worth of shoes? Who do you think you are? Imelda Marcos or something?
We've done
that as a people, and the debts are coming due. And now we're going to be shocked. We thought we had this thing. This is inevitable. This is the way it has to work because we accepted a debt-based monetary system where we could buy now and pay later.
I don't want to say this before we go into break. And folks, it's not about all the predicted events. The collapse of our system is not going to be created by an event that we hear day in and day out how laws are changed. Yes, these are all signs of the big event, of that day of reckoning. And yeah, there might be an event, but no one can predict that. And that's what I think confuses people. You see all these predictions from all of these so-called experts, and what have they proven? How many times have they been correct? None. Absolutely none. And so you have to understand that because we're in this And it goes, and it's very simple. We're in a fiat currency. When that was created, you can predict the end.
Yep.
You can write history. Mm-hmm. You know what history is going to be. You know how it's going to end. It's just like when you read the Bible. You know the beginning and you know the end.
Just
you know
exactly
how it's going to
when.
End. We don't know
the
when.
The dates are uncertain, but the events are absolutely predictable. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom. The program's Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I'm reminding listeners to get to our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter. And, of course, these programs are archived there on a daily basis. And I'm going to continue with the 710 package we have going for you, a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. And 20 of the brilliant uncirculated peace dollars are just absolutely gorgeous. It includes shipping. And again, folks, I've been running this special for how many days? And gold is what, up probably $10-$15 since I started this. Silver is probably up about 50 cents, and we're still offering that same package at $710. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. And I do want to remind listeners, we're going into the end of the year, and we do have precious metals IRAs available for you. If you want to convert that paper that you're holding in your IRA into some precious metals, gold and silver, give us a call. We can help you complete the forms. And we use one company, Gold Star. I've tried others. I always come back to Gold Star. I have clients in other companies, and I service them. We do a fine job. But Gold Star has always been, they've been one of the earliest companies that dealt with gold and silver precious metals IRAs. The product is stored at the Delaware Depository, and I cannot endorse the IRAs to which they claim you can take physical possession of it. If you have any questions, call me and I'll discuss it with you on the telephone. I've discussed it several times on the program. If you're going to do an IRA, I wouldn't take physical delivery. I would store it in a depository. But we do have them. I think Gold Star is the best company out there. I'm beginning to see other companies pop up, ones I've never heard of before. And some very bizarre arguments on some of these IRAs. So be careful out there. Be careful the product that you purchase. You never buy your product by the pound. You're just going to get taken. Sounds like you're getting a lot, but you're not. And always do a comparison per ounce, and it'll tell you what you're paying. And don't think that, well, gee, it's only couple dollars more, $5 more. No, that's a lot when you're dealing with silver. So be careful out there. As we get closer to things unfolding and we beginning to see gold and prices holding steady, they're beginning to rise. And as gold and silver begin to take off once again, you're going to see all kinds of crazy things, particularly if you're signed up on the internet. And not everything you see on the internet is true. I'm sorry. It's not all true.
Somebody called Drudge. I'm just saying somebody called Drudge had a news flash.
Yes.
Some of the stuff on the internet is false.
But the truth of the matter is there is truth
90% on the internet.
But you have to do your homework in order to do it. That's why I don't visit a lot of websites. I don't view a lot of opinions. I read news from morning till night in various publications, and that's how I draw my conclusions. And I understand gold. I understand the monetary system that we have, and I understand the history. So I know where we're going. I know where we're heading. I know where gold and silver prices are going. I know why you buy gold and silver. And it's very simple. There's various products out there. If a dealer says you shouldn't buy this because of this, this, and that, you shouldn't do business with them. All the gold and silver coins, there's a purpose and a place in a portfolio for them. The problem is they don't want to spend the time to educate you. They're not educators. They're sellers. All they want to do is sell you a product. They don't want to educate you. They'll tell you they're educating you by trying to explain to you why you need to own gold and silver and why you need their product, but they don't want to educate you on the various products and what really suits you. And that's how you have to buy gold and silver. What's suitable for you? What investments in your portfolio is suitable for you and to be diversified? And are you suitable for diversification? So there's a lot of things that they don't do, they should do. But again, as I said, they're not educators, they're sellers. So we're different here at Discount Gold and Silver. So give us a call. I love to hear stories. I love to share the stories, particularly with the gentleman with the IRA. He called me up. He wanted me to share his story because he didn't want anybody else to get taken like he was. And so be careful out there. Give me a call at any time.
Here's an article from David Stockman at Newsmax. And Hillary will win, but economic calamity will greet her presidency. Former Reagan economic advisor David Stockman says Hillary Clinton very well could win the White House. Elsewhere, he says she will win. But any celebration she and her supporters will have will be short-lived. When the economy comes crashing down all around her, it's going to be a calamity. And there's total radio silence in this campaign about it. He said Trump is wrong when he says he can grow his way out of our economic problems. And I agree with Trump with a lot of things that he's proposing, but you're not going to grow your way out. You have to reform entitlements. Yep. What's he saying? He's saying government has to cut spending on welfare and subsidies. Now, who isn't going to scream when government cuts their checks? We have to cut entitlements? Oh, that's a very rash. I agree with them 100%. We have to cut entitlements. But I guarantee you, as soon as they make any attempt to do so, there will be political pressure brought to bear that will be huge. Right? It won't be easily done. He says you can't keep adding to defense, and we need better revenue source than the taxes we have today. He says we have to raise taxes. Somehow we have to raise taxes. okay, raise taxes. Who isn't going to scream about raising taxes? We can cut entitlements. That'll cause the welfare recipients and subsidy recipients to scream. We can raise taxes, which will cause everybody to scream. He goes on, he says, Clinton has no solution at all. Just more of the same. But if she wins, there's a silver lining because things are going to blow up in the next 4 years. If we can hold this together for four more years, in my opinion, I'm going to be much surprised. I think Stockman is being overly, I don't know, conservative when he says things are going to blow up in the next 4 years. It's like saying there's going to be an asteroid going to strike the Earth, a big one, within the next 400 billion years. That's a little too long a time frame to be. I think we're going to see big trouble, and I think it'll start next year. He says there will be stock market crash. There'll be a recession. The annual deficit will be back in the over $2 trillion category. It'll all come down on her head and on the watch of the establishment. And he's saying if Hillary wins, the establishment's going to get blamed when the economy goes south. Trump wins, the establishment could maybe avoid taking liability for another crash. They'd be able to skate around it to some degree. If Hillary's in the office, they won't be. And he says that maybe this will wake up the public because it's going to be bad. Stockman, when he says maybe that, meaning some sort of a crash, is going to wake up the public because it's going to be bad, he's essentially saying the American people just don't pay attention to the degree that they should. And he's hoping they wake up, but he is perhaps, judging from his language, he is doubtful that even a severe economic recession or depression will cause most of the public to wake up. I'm not as pessimistic about that as he is. I think the public is learning. They're not necessarily talking about it. I think they're learning. I don't mean all of them, but there is a growing awareness, and I expect that awareness to continue to grow. And what Trump proved in his campaign is that the establishment will do anything politically to stop a challenge, but maybe this thing can be busted wide open, and we have a chance to clear the decks and start again. He's saying this whole thing's going to have to collapse, and we're going to rebuild out of the rubble. He is not anticipating. He doesn't care. He's saying, as I read this, read between the lines, he said, I don't care whether Hillary is elected or Trump is elected. We're coming to big trouble. There's no way out of it, and I agree with that. I cannot imagine that either politician can actually defend us against what's coming. The question is, how will they react to it? Hillary will react by creating more government, and I think Trump will react by creating less government. And to me, you know, there's your choice. You want more government, they're the ones that are really driving us into this mess in the first place. You want less government. You want less government, talk to Mr. Trump. Want more government, Hillary's your girl. I think we're in a fiscal fantasy land, and I believe we're being subjected to a massive con job about how serious this problem is. Public doesn't understand. Fiscal fantasy land, that's where the government keeps spending more money on deficit financing. That means they are borrowing against the future and they're already broke. They can't pay the debt they've got. He says the national debt, and it was $10.6 trillion when Obama was sworn in. It'll be $20 trillion when the next president takes office. That means in the last 10 years we've added to the national debt as much as during the first 220 years of the Republic, during the first 43 presidents. He is specifically mentions the national debt, which is something I harp on and been harping on for several years. The debt is too big, can't be paid, won't be paid. This is the problem. This is the fundamental problem. There are plenty of other problems dancing around, and some of them, all of them are probably serious, but I don't see one that is more serious than the size of the national debt. Stockman concludes, he says there'll be a recession one of these days. We're not going to go 10 years without one. We've been able to avoid recession for, if you believe that the last recession started in 2007, 2008, and ended in 2009, we've been able to avoid a recession for 7 years. He says essentially it's coming again, this is another one of these reports by an intelligent guy who doesn't really have something to sell. He's not selling you stocks, bonds. He's not selling anything. All right? You have to look. You have to consult. Oh, he's got a book to sell and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But he's not selling products, investment products, so far as I know. And it just tells you, look, maybe this guy knows what he's talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. We've said it in so many different ways. I mean, we have problems when we're going downhill, and the system is going to collapse. It's not going to last any longer. And we've said on this program, too, it doesn't matter who gets elected. You know, we're just going to have maybe a little bit of a different outcome on how it collapses. And I'll guarantee you, Hillary gets elected, we will have war. And I mean, war is coming. And that is how they will attempt to cover up the financial collapse. They're not going to take blame for it. And I'll tell you what, even if Trump does get in there, there's still going to be war. Because that's the only thing the elites know how to work. They have the money to create the wars. They know who they can funnel the money to and do the things that needed to create the wars that will be needed. So I think either way, we're going into war. Whether it be a nuclear war, whether that remains to be seen. I don't think a lot of these countries, they don't want to be nuked, just like
and
we don't want
to. What will happen in the
Except
context
Except then you
of
have
war?
Little guys like North Korea. But you get into a trade war with China, I mean, that's an act of war also. China's going to fight for all that trade. Why would they want to renegotiate trade deals with Mr. Trump? And, it's true. NAFTA is supposed to be could be negotiated every 2 years, but they've never touched it. So, it's, you know what? It's so messed up. There aren't any nice fixes.
No,
the nice fixes are gone.
Yep. As a nation, we have to take our medicine. And why? Because we have, as a people, we have been irresponsible for a couple of generations. We have been ignorant, we've been irresponsible, we've been entertained, but we haven't been informed, we haven't been educated, and as a result, we've made some stupid, just self-destructive choices, and now the consequences of those choices are coming home to roost. And most people are going to sit back and say, oh my gosh, how could this have happened? We had such a great system going. We haven't had a great system since they took gold out of circulation back in 1934. We haven't had a great system. We have been carried like a big ship. The momentum of the ship has carried us, all right, forward. And we thought we were still doing well, but we haven't really been... We haven't been moving under our own power, and as a result, we're going to pay a price before this is done. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, our producer. Bye-bye.
You were early, Al.
I'm not early, bro. Somebody's got their clock off.
No, you were early. But anyway, 1-800-375-4180. Remember our special folks, $710 for a 2016 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 of brilliant uncirculated peace dollars. Includes your shipping costs, all for $710. And we hear it. We'll be here tomorrow. Thank you, folks.
Okay, folks. Mañana.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.